This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Shredding TARP.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. A Treasury Department watchdog issued a report saying the Troubled Asset Relief Program has damaged the government's credibility. TARP's Inspector General Neil Barofsky also said the bailout hasn't changed the banking industry's reckless ways. The report did, however, say TARP helped prevent the financial industry from collapse. President Obama defended TARP last night at a fundraiser in New York City. He also took Wall Street to the woodshed.
When I hear some folks who have just been taken taxpayer bailout money suddenly say, what do you want from me? When I hear stories about small businesses and medium-sized businesses not being able to get loans, despite Wall Street being back very profitable, that tells me that people aren't thinking about their obligations, our mutual obligations to each other. Fact that we're in this together.
Big banks also got a slap on the other side of the pond. The head of the Bank of England, Mervyn King, called for the breaking up of big banks in the UK. Here to talk about that with us is our very own Stephen Beard in London. He joins us live. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, Stace.
What exactly did King say?
Well, King is very critical of the way the banks have been bailed out here. They've been given by the taxpayers in one way or another $1.6 trillion. That's close to two-thirds of the UK's entire annual output. Yet in return, the banks have not reformed. In a speech last night, in an ironic twist, King parodied Churchill's famous wartime speech, which paid tribute to the few, the handful of heroic Spitfire pilots who won the air battle over Britain in World War II.
Never in the field of financial endeavour has so much money been owed by so few to so many. And one might add, so far, with little real reform.
So, Stephen, what specific reform is King calling for?
Well, King says that the bailout has, in effect, sent the wrong signal to the banks. And it's this: take whatever risks you like, you're too big to fail, the taxpayers will always bail you out. So King is floating an old American idea, the Glass-Steagall idea. Split the banks into utilities and casinos. On the one hand, boring, steady banks that handle all the core business of banking, payments and so on. And on the other, the racy, risky, bonus-fueled investment banks. Then you can guarantee the utility banks with taxpayers' cash, but not the investment banks. If they get into trouble, tough luck, let them fail.
What effect are these remarks having? Will anything change in the British banking system?
Well, his remarks contradict British government policy and actually US government policy, come to that. Both governments believe that tighter regulation and closer scrutiny are the way to go. But King is one of the world's most prominent central bankers. His is a very influential voice, and his remarks could well strengthen the hand of those in the US, like former US Fed Chairman Paul Volcker, who also argue that big banks should be split into utilities and casinos.
Stephen Beard in London, thank you.
Okay, Stace.
We'll get more news from big banks later today. Fidelity, U.S. Bancorp, Wells Fargo all report earnings today. U.S. markets were down yesterday after some dismal news from the housing sector. That's reverberating through overseas markets this morning. In Europe, London's FTSE is down 0.5%. Asian markets down as well. Hong Kong's Hang Seng Index lost 0.3%. The dollar is up a bit this morning, still about $1.50 to the euro. The greenback has lost about a quarter of its value since 2002. For us, that means some seriously expensive gelato. For Europeans, a weak dollar means U.S. consumers buy less of their stuff. That's why French President Nicolas Sarkozy is calling for a stop to the dollar's slide. John Dimsdale has more.
Europeans complain the high-priced euro hurts their exports, and they're calling on the European Central Bank to put more euros in circulation to reduce their value. Fred Berkston at the Peterson Institute for International Economics calls the European concerns ridiculous.
Europe is not uncompetitive at these exchange rates. They are not even running a trade deficit. The U.S. is still running a huge deficit by comparison and must have a somewhat weaker dollar to balance our international position, so I don't have much sympathy.
Besides, Johns Hopkins economics professor Steve Hanke says those complaining politicians can't do much other than keep complaining.
Well, they can't do anything about it because the European Central Bank is independent.
He says if the European Central Bank did try to make the euro cheaper by flooding the market with them or lowering interest rates, the result would be out-of-control inflation. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing and online surveys. ConstantContact.com. And by Gather.com, the social network where people can make new friends who share their interests. People talking about today's news at news.gather.com.
International aid agency Oxfam released a report today looking at the southeastern U.S. and its vulnerability to climate change. Ashley Milne-Tite has more.
The conventional wisdom goes that coastal inhabitants are worst hit when sea levels rise or hurricanes sweep in. But Oxfam America says that's not necessarily the case. Heather Coleman is a climate change policy advisor with the group.
What we found is that a place like Hilton Head, South Carolina, is actually less vulnerable to climate change because they have more resources to prepare for and cope with something like a hurricane.
Coleman says it's harder for inland towns like Iberia, Louisiana, to pick themselves up after extreme weather strikes.
Those are far more disadvantaged by poverty and other factors, and so they have less of an ability to prepare for and respond to something like hurricane force winds.
Poorer residents can't always afford to protect their homes, and Spanish speakers don't always understand instructions. A quarter of the Southeast lives in poverty, she says, and many poor communities are located in areas prone to flood, drought, or both. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
A survey out this morning looks at the most stressed-out cities in the U.S. The Harris Interactive Survey primarily looked at work-life balance, topping the list for the most stressed out, Chicago. Luckily, they have all that great jazz and pizza to help relax them. In Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.